Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
I show love to my girls really every morning. If they don't come over to me to give me a hug, I will always go find them and give them a big daddy hug and a big daddy kiss on the head.
I have both a boy and two girls, and love looks very much like time. They enjoy time with me together, individually.
My daughters are grown now, and so connecting is a little bit harder, but I try to pursue them, to invite them over for dinner, or to call, or just send a text, "I'm thinking of you."
Well, I wonder if you resonate with those comments. You know, loving our children is something that we as parents want to do. We try to do that well, but sometimes we need to lean in and be a little bit more intentional about how we show love to our children. Today on Focus on the Family, we'll review some great ideas about loving your sons and your daughters in ways that are meaningful to them. We're so glad you've joined us. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Hey, John, I've always been, so happy to love on my boys. I mean, it's just part of what I love to do, giving them a hug. And I can remember my oldest, Trent. I mean, he was stiff as a board as 5 years old. I'd hug him. His arms would be down to the side. I'd say, "No, go ahead. Put your arms around my shoulders. Come on. Give me a big squeeze. Push my kidneys in," you know, just to get him to go for it, because he was so, you know, it just felt odd to him. And I could say now he is one great hugger. I'm proud of that.
I'm glad you trained him.
You know, it is hard. Life gets busy. We get distracted. We're not sure, you know, if they really need that anymore. But the right answer is, who doesn't need a hug? I mean, everybody needs a hug, and I think your kids will need more hugs than you realize. And we want to help you today, as a parent, to love on your daughters, to love on your sons in ways that really feed their confidence, their identity in Christ, and all those good things.
Yeah, we have invited Matt and Lisa Jacobson to help us explore this a little bit more. They were here a few months ago talking about meaningful ways to show love to your spouse, and Shazam, there's a follow-up, meaningful ways to show love to your children. Matt is a teaching pastor and a marriage coach. Lisa encourages women to live more biblically, and together they write and they speak on topics of marriage and parenting and Christian living, and they co-host a podcast called Faithful Life. Now, the Jacobsons have written a pair of books we'll explore today, 100 Ways to Love Your Son, also 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter. The Simple, Powerful Path to a Close and Lasting Relationship. And we've got copies of those books here at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast.
Matt and Lisa, welcome back to Focus.
Thank you so much.
Good to be back.
Good to have you with us. Now, I think we need to clarify up front that you have experience in parenting, right? How many kids do you have?
We have eight.
Eight. And you have how many of which?
We have four and four. We planned it that way.
Well, how wonderful. You to balance it so well. You have a basketball team plus three substitutes.
Exactly.
That's perfect. Almost a baseball team. You're a little short there.
Hey, we're still working on it.
No, we're not.
I love that. Oh, Gene and you would be fast friends, I can tell you. But let's get into it with just the simple idea of a busy household. And it's, you know, challenging to find that quality time, that quantity time. How did you guys do it with eight kids? I mean, where did you find that time to actually be with your children collectively and individually?
One of the things that I think we've learned in life is that everybody has time for their real priorities. Hmm. And so in a busy house, and actually, I've not met anybody in the last 20 years that didn't say they were so busy.
Right? Isn't that, that's like a calling card of everybody. Yeah. I'm so busy.
But you throw eight kids into the mix, and it is very, very challenging, just from a logistics standpoint, keeping the wheels on the wagon. And
Yeah,
just ordering our lives is helpful to run our family, that there's order in our home, not a bunch of chaos. I mean, chaos comes with kids, but you also want to give them a sense that there is order, there's peace in our home, and that's a priority.
How did you get back to that question? How did you literally carve out time for each child? I mean, I didn't do that well, and I had two boys. I mean, I would do things together. Looking back on it, that was one regret that I've had, that, you know, because two boys, we'd go to the baseball game together. We did everything together, and I didn't really understand the need to do some things individually just to build one-on-one time until in their teen years. And I do, that is one thing that I wish I would have caught earlier.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And I think everybody, no matter if you have a smaller family or a larger family, deals with the exact same challenge. You know, where is that one-on-one time with this child? And you've just got to fight for it, because it will not happen naturally. Everything in life conspires against it, which is why I started out by saying we always have time for our real priorities.
Yeah.
And so sometimes as parents, we have to sit down, take stock, and really assess where our priorities are. Because when we look at those kids as the disciples that God gave us to raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to raise to know who he is and what he likes, what he requires, it takes time to communicate that. But it is the real priority for Christian parents.
You know, Matt, this may even sound a little outdated, but I'm thinking of the father, you know, the provider. I know women work outside the home, and I get that. But that feeling of, man, I've got 8 kids I got to feed. You start thinking about, I may not be here with you physically, but know that I'm thinking about you, but I'm working my backside off trying to make sure we have food and shelter. I mean, you could hear men rationalizing that.
Well, absolutely. And part of that is just the truth. Our kids like peanut butter sandwiches. Well, you gotta buy a lot of peanut butter. There are a lot of expenses that just go into maintaining the family. But there's so many practical things you can do along the way. So if you have a little errand to run, grab a kid to go with you. It's more efficient always just to do it yourself, put your head down and go to the hardware store and get what you need. So you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of efficiency for what really matters, the hearts
so
of your
true.
Kid.
Yeah. Every guy's grinning because it's so true. So, I'm just going to sneak out and make sure I get those nails and a hammer.
Yeah.
But, why don't you take the kids? But Lisa, let me ask you on that hugging setup I did in terms of Trent. I mean, hugging was really important to you as one of your parenting tools. A lot of parents, you know, were just not taught how to engage that way, especially if you're coming from a more stoic family environment where you guys talked about things, but you didn't show affection. Maybe your mom and dad, you never saw them hug or kiss. You know, that's not uncommon.
Yeah, we weren't. I grew up in a home that was not particularly affectionate. So this whole hugging, touching thing was very new to me. And I thought it would come more naturally as a mother, but it didn't come naturally to me. Matt's family was way more affectionate that way. And so I learned a lot from him. But I also started seeing there was so much power. So even if it didn't feel comfortable, my reaching out to my kids, touching them, hugging them, I could see them lighten up. I could see breakthroughs even. And so the more I realized how powerful it was, the more I was determined to do it. And now it's very comfortable to me, and I enjoy it very much.
But it can be learned. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can
absolutely
be.
You don't have to stay in that place that distance is comfortable. You can learn to hug. Now, I got to ask you, Matt, as a father with 4 daughters, I mean, that's part of it. A lot of dads will write to Focus or contact Focus. You know, once your kids hit a certain age, especially your daughters, it's kind of uncomfortable. How do you manage that whole side of that? Kind of appropriate hug as dad and, you know, not...
Well, you know, when you're doing it for the first time, it doesn't matter if you have 8 kids, there are first times along the way, right? And so I had to learn that with my daughters when they were transitioning to womanhood. They didn't... That whole touchy-feely thing...
They kind of pulled back a little bit,
had to transition away from that. But the real core of it isn't to check a box that, hey, I touched this child today, I embraced this child today. The real core of it is communicating that you actually like them as a person. Every parent loves their kids, right? Oh, I love my kids. Yeah. But do you like them? Do you like being with them? Do you like their personalities? Mm-hmm. Are they people that you value just because of who they are, not what they are going to accomplish or what they've done?
Well, that sounds like managing expectations to a degree. I mean, if you've got these incredibly high expectations, your son or daughter is going to be a doctor and they're not very good at math or whatever, right? That starts to put little widgets in your relationship, little barriers, I guess. And loving your child is like got to be like the unconditional love that we experience from the Lord. It should be. But it's sometimes hard to do that as a parent, right? Because they're behaving in ways, Lisa, that, you know what, don't make me very happy right now.
Actually, I remember a moment where my daughter, who was teenage years, and she was just having an emotional meltdown. She was being totally ridiculous. And I was really frustrated in my spirit, like, what am I going to do with this child? And I walk in the room and I was just trying to come up with the right words, the right lecture. And then something in me just said, just go over and just hug her. Mm. And I didn't know if she would get upset with me or if that would just make it worse, but I just did it anyway. And I just didn't say anything and I just hugged her. And just right in my arm, she melted.
You could feel it, right?
I could feel it. I could feel the little girl in her just, you know, come down. And we did end up having a more reasonable conversation after that.
Yeah.
And for the time, there was no agenda, just I'm here with you no matter how you're feeling or what you're going through.
You know, so often as parents, we forget, even though we went through it when we were teenagers, that 13 to 17-year-old stage, when that zit appears on your face and you're going, it's all falling apart. This is the end of the world. I can't go to the dance. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have children. I mean, you're going, what? That's a good time to hug your child. But it's this perspective that you've got to be able to bring as the parent without judgment or, you know, just that wraparound to say, you know what? It's not going to be that big a deal. Mm-hmm. And that's true of just about anything that goes on in that teenager's life at that point.
Sometimes one of the most difficult things you can do, because you want to be efficient, you want to deal with the information, you want to go forward,
Matt,
and we've
I
got
like
a plan
you.
Here.
Identifying.
I like you.
Yeah.
Come
but
on,
sometimes
snap.
One of the most difficult things you can do is just sit and listen. Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple of kids. They're not all this way. We have a very silent son who he doesn't have much to say.
I'm sure you have variety.
We have a big
children.
Variety.
Yep.
But there's a huge value in valuing, and I say valuing because the parent has to see this in themselves. I value this. There's a huge value in just listening to your daughter, to your son, listening to what they have to say. And we're such fixers, and we listen to the problems, and then 3 minutes in, we've got the answer. But that's the wrong approach, certainly we found in our kids. And I'm thinking of a couple of daughters in particular, but one in particular, who just wants you to listen. And she's not looking for your comeback answers and your awesome plans and solutions. She just needs to get it out. She needs to. And so it doesn't feel very productive as a parent, but it's super powerful in the heart of your child.
Well, and so much of what you talk about in your great resources, 100 ways to love your son, 100 ways to love your daughter, it's relationship. I mean, that's what you're really talking about.
Absolutely.
You, in fact, talk about dating your daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not, I didn't have that experience. John, you did.
I did, but
I don't have daughters. So I kind of, you know, there's a piece of my heart going, oh, I wish I would have had a daughter and experienced that. And, you know, said, hey, let's go out Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night's going to be your night. Let's spend time together. How did you do that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, with 8 kids, you can't just block out a night of the week because
there are one enough short nights.
There's me.
That's right.
That's you.
That's right. Okay. She always says, I'm high maintenance, but I'm worth it.
I'm a Sunday through Saturday person. Yeah, that's good.
I think I say this in the book. I wish I would have done this vastly more than I did. And there are a lot of dads out there that are doing an excellent job with this. But I did date our daughters. Again, a little bit, I wish I would have done it a lot more.
Yeah.
There's real value in just saying, hey, I'd like to go catch some lunch with you. We do it more now. Well, we've got several kids that don't live near us, but with our daughter that does and with our sons, we definitely pursue
spend a
that
more time together.
But it's easy just asking.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your child will be surprised, you know, if you haven't done it. They might be surprised. And if there's a little bit of pushback, don't take the bait. If you're starting in on this journey, just do it. Just show them that you like them and you want to be with them. You want them to be with you.
Well, it's creating those opportunities to listen, like you
just
said a moment ago. Lisa, let's turn to sons for a moment. I love this aspect that you wrote about in terms of, you know, letting boys be boys in essence. So your kids, your boys, love to build forts. My boys did the same thing. You know, where's that blanket? Where are the chairs? Oh, they're in the basement and they've got this fort going. And it, you know, it's a nice place to go hide, really. But why is that important to let boys be boys?
Well, I think it speaks so powerfully into their lives. It builds confidence in them that you love them just how they're made and that you're going to encourage that. So for me, I had to let go of some things. I had to let go of my need for order, my clean house. Those are super important things to me. But I realized, wait a minute, I'm sacrificing how they're made in order for me to have my home the way I want it to be.
You had to let that go a little bit.
Yeah, I did. And so I didn't let them spread out all over the house, but in the living room, they would set up their tents. They would leave them up for days. They would bring all their stuff in there and eat in there. And I've asked our older son, who's now 26, what is it that we did right? What is it, some things that you felt like I did well? And he said, I loved that you let us build forts in the house and you let us
Great memory.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment. January is Sanctity of Human Life Month, and you can join Focus on the Family as we love every heartbeat. Whether you join us for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., or you make an impact where you live, we can all stand up for the truth and for life. Share your heart, your kindness, and your hope with others through the 2021 March for Life and Sanctity of Human Life Month at focusonthefamily.com/marchforlife. focusonthefamily.com/marchforlife.
In today's complex world, parenting is a tough job. Beyond the difficulties of the age we live in, there are also the daily frictions of imperfect people sharing a home together. But in his new book, Seven Traits of Effective Parenting, Focus on the Family's Danny Huerta shares how you can thrive as a parent by developing seven powerful character traits that will help you grow your parenting skills. Get your copy of Seven Traits of Effective Parenting today at focusonthefamily.com/store.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Matt, you stress the importance of affirming your sons, and I think I understand that, and I hope I've done a good job of that with my boys, but you're coming from a place where you didn't really have the well of affirmation.
Right.
And it's wonderful how God works that pendulum. You know, so much of our parenting, I think, if you're aware and you're tuned in, you will start to correct those things you didn't have. And I can so relate to that. And it sounds like you had that similar experience.
Yes, absolutely. And while saying that as a young child, I didn't really have that affirmation from my dad or my mom, they did change later in life.
Yeah.
So there was a journey that
they were all growing.
They were all growing. But, and again, this is one of those things where you see, hey, is it that big of a deal? You know, but there's so many opportunities through the day, and it is a massively big deal for your son and your daughters to know that you approve of them. You approve of them. So giving them affirmation for the things that they've accomplished, the things that they've done, or how they've acted toward another person, if it's in a good, constructive, and godly way. Every single day is filled with opportunities to affirm who they are and what they've done. And hey, we all know it's filled with opportunities for training and discipline too, when they're young especially. But the thing is that you are so powerful as a parent. And I know a lot of parents out there don't feel powerful. They just feel like, hey, their kids are, you know, moving on in life and the circle's getting bigger and all of that. But your presence and the validation that you can bring to the decisions that they make is so powerful. It helps them build confidence. It helps them know that you're behind them. And every day, if you just look around what happened in your day and what maybe they cleaned up all the bikes off the driveway as a young kid. You know, our kids did a lot of wood chopping. In fact, I never even lit our fire once in the winter for 10, 12 years because they handled it. But affirming your kids.
And they didn't burn the house down.
They didn't burn the house down.
This is kind of like catching your children doing well. I think a lot of us have a tendency to find out what they're doing wrong and call them out on that.
Yeah.
But you're saying find them doing right and affirm them in that.
Well, not only that, John, what was hitting me is experts will say try to do a 10-to-1 ratio. Oh. That sounds exhausting, you know, meaning not 10, you know,
negatives
for every one positive, the opposite.
Sure.
For every, you know, one negative, try to augment that with 10 positives.
And it can be a burden until you change your perspective on what you're actually doing.
Right.
And what you're speaking into the life of your son or daughter.
And that does speak life into your son or daughter.
Absolutely.
That's the big thing. Lisa, let me ask you again. I'm coming from no experience just observing my friends, but with daughters, and you alluded to this, there was emotional moments. So many hormone changes are going, both in sons and daughters, but girls seem to have the harder end of that, just with hormone changes and development and all those things. And how do you manage all that image, self-image as a mom to a daughter? How are you encouraging her to be solid in who she is, no matter who she is?
I thought our daughters would, because they did grow up in a solid, loving home, I thought they would just naturally be confident teenagers. I really did. I thought that would just fall into place. And so I was very surprised when my girls did struggle with self-image or wanted to know if they were pretty or if they were okay.
It kind of surprised you.
It did surprise me.
Because you thought they had that.
Yep.
What in a woman's heart, in a girl's heart, is making that disconnect? Why are they so doubtful of what they are, who they are?
I think it comes with the territory, but there's also there's social media, there's your peer influence, and then there's just your own self-doubts, and they all come together somehow in that vulnerable time and just make a mess of your child's heart, your daughter's heart. And so as a parent, rather than that pulling away that we can do when they're teenagers, like give them some, I'm not saying don't give them space, but our girls have said to me, no, Mom, we needed you more than ever in our teen years. We needed you there to speak into our lives and in positive ways, not that so much the lectures, just that I believe in you. I love what you're wearing.
Again, affirmation.
Yeah.
Lisa, let me delve into that a little bit. And I don't know if you found a difference with each of your daughters. I would think you did because everybody's uniquely made. Mm-hmm. But the quiet soul, I mean, you're sitting there, you're affirming, you're hugging, you're doing all those things to say, you matter to me. Mm-hmm. And you get very little response. I know you're going to say, yeah, stay motivated to keep going. But you may have one of those quiet daughters that you're not getting the kind of the feedback loop to say, oh, this feels good. Oh, thank you, Mom. That's incredible. Mom, thank you. You don't typically get that.
I definitely have one of those for sure. And you're right. You do it anyway. Recently, I just wrote this same daughter who's now living out of the home. And I wrote her a letter just from my heart because she was going through a really difficult time. And I had no idea if it would offend her. I didn't know if she would throw it out. I just kind of mailed it to her. And she texted me one word. She said, Mom, I got your letter. I cried.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just thought, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. So it did mean something to you, even if you aren't as expressive as some of
our
other
girls.
Well,
let me ask you for that mom and dad, but how do you stay motivated? You know, we have our needs too emotionally. And if we don't feel a response coming or it's minimal, we can tend to trail off in those positive things. So how do we stay motivated when you're not getting the feedback? How do you stay there?
I think of a couple things. One is you want to keep your long-term perspective. I know what kind of relationship I want with this child when they are in their 20s, in their 30s, and on. So I try to keep that in mind. And Matt and I actually encourage one another privately in the back bedroom, like, and then we kind of give each other
more about that. Yeah. No, how does that go?
We do give each other a little bit cheering, like, no, let's just keep at it, or it's your turn. We do some of that.
And you have to be reminded of things. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ones in this matter of dealing with a child that's maybe pulling back a little bit and maybe even saying some things that you go, hey, wait a minute, you know, but you need to remember not to take the bait, because then what you wind up doing is being engaged at the same level. Right. And we've had our kids come back to us now, our older kids, and they've said, hey, I really appreciated how you pushed me there. I really appreciated how you
spoke. So they notice.
Yeah, as adults mm-hmm. in the world, now they're coming back around to some of these things that you look at in the moment and you go, hey, what's happening? Is this positive? But the main thing is don't take the bait. Just remember who the adult in the room is.
Yeah.
And it's hard because we do have feelings as parents. Mm-hmm. And here this child that we poured, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 years into is now saying hurtful things or doing hurtful things. Don't take the bait. Just keep praying. Don't engage on an emotional level.
Do you think the Lord said that when Adam and Eve were disobedient? Was he saying, okay, don't take the bait. I mean, isn't that funny?
Absolutely.
I mean, he created, you know, he's perfect. He's a perfect mm-hmm. everything. And here he had these two creation, you know, his people going a different direction, rebelling against him. I'm sure he had a little thing going there. He's going, okay, what did I do?
Well, we obviously enjoyed our conversation with Matt and Lisa Jacobson today on Focus on the Family as we reviewed their great ideas about how to love your son or daughter in really meaningful ways.
John, Matt and Lisa have provided us with some simple yet profound reminders about what's most important in our families today, and we can't afford to get distracted by the busyness of life and forget to listen to our kids or hug them on a regular basis. I try to do that. We need to encourage them and affirm them in who God created them to be. And I like what you said earlier, John. This isn't rocket science. We can all learn how to love our children better. And that's why I really appreciate these books by Matt and Lisa, 100 Ways to Love Your Son and 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter. Both books are easy to read and chock full of fun ideas and encouraging stories. And we can put either into your hands for a gift of any amount today to focus on the family. That'll be our way of saying thanks for partnering with us to strengthen and support families.
Call today to donate and request your copy of 100 Ways to Love Your Son or 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter. Our number is 800-A-FAMILY, 800-232-6459, or online, we're at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. And you probably know this, but just in case, Focus on the Family has a lot of resources to benefit your family, including a free online parenting assessment, which can give you a general overview of what's working well with your kids and offers some suggestions about ways you can improve that relationship.
And that's why Focus on the Family exists, to equip moms and dads to be the best parents they can be. And thanks to the generous support of so many friends like you, we've been there when families needed us the most. And like the woman who wrote to us a while ago, and let me just add, this is to you, the donor and support base. This letter is written to you as much as it is to us. After our second child was born, the strong-willed one, God brought us to our knees, and my husband accepted the Lord. Our lives began anew, and Focus led the way. Hmm. When we had no church support to guide or disciple us, you were there. Your godly advice helped me parent my children alone while their father was deployed, and then helped him learn to be a good dad once he came home again. Through the years, your teaching about relationships has strengthened our marriage and pulled us together in our desire to please God. For all these things, we are forever grateful. Mm. Man, that is so good. And let me add my thanks to everyone who has partnered with us financially to empower and help families like that one. And if we haven't heard from you for a while, or if you've never given to Focus, can I encourage you to consider supporting the ministry today?
Yeah, your donation helps make stories like that one possible, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number is 800-A-FAMILY, and you can contribute on the website, focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. We'll hear more from Matt and Lisa Jacobson next time about loving your children well.
We all have these deep, wonderful feelings for our kids, right? But they're not worth anything if we don't actually communicate to them those deep, wonderful feelings.
On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once more help you and your family thrive in Christ. You're listening to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We'll take a quick break and then return with the second half of this program for your family. Stay tuned.
The real core of it is communicating that you actually like them as a person. Every parent loves their kids, right? Oh, I love my kids. Yeah. But do you like them? Do you like being with them? Do you like their personalities? Mm-hmm. Are they people that you value just because of who they are, not what they are going to accomplish or what they've done?
Insights from Matt Jacobson describing how you and I can better parent our children through intentionality and respect, encouragement, even a hug from time to time. Matt and his wife Lisa are back with us today on Focus on the Family. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Hey John, we had a wonderful conversation last time with the Jacobsons, gleaning many of their insights from raising eight, that's right, count them, eight kids. And I so appreciated their vulnerability and simple, down-to-earth approach, really. Matt and Lisa aren't experts by any means. They've made mistakes and have struggled at times in their parenting journey. But along the way, they've learned to love their children well, which I think if you read scripture, that's the most important thing. Last time they shared some great tips for raising sons and daughters, and I'm looking forward to more of the same today. If you missed the conversation last time, you can get the download or a CD copy. Or get our app so you can listen on the go.
Yeah, the Jacobsons have a great message for parents born out of their experiences and based on scripture. And they've written a couple of books, 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter and 100 Ways to Love Your Son. And you can find those books and more, including the audio from our conversation last time, at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast or call for details, 800-A-FAMILY.
John, we should also mention our 7 Traits of Effective Parenting Assessment. This is a free online resource based on research that's designed to help you maximize your role as mom or dad. There's no formula for perfect parenting, but there are some predictors or factors that will help your kids thrive. Things like adaptability, boundaries, and grace and forgiveness. You can learn more about all the 7 traits when you take the assessment at our website.
And again, that's focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. And now let's return to our conversation with Matt and Lisa Jacobson on Focus on the Family.
Let's get to your family mottos.
Okay.
I think you have a couple of those. First of all, these aren't rules, obviously.
Nope.
These are mottos.
Mottos.
So what are they?
Well, one of the principal ones is Jacobsons never give up. And where that gets applied is if the child is given a job to do, and somehow it's just so hard and I just can't do it. Well, Jacobsons never give up. So you get to stay at it. And we work until the job's done, not until we're tired and don't want to do it anymore. So, and that's something that we've just spoken into their hearts from a very early age.
Do you have I think you have a woodcutting example, right?
Sure.
I would think, being from the Northwest.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, we have a fireplace and we like a good, Lisa especially likes a good blaze in the winter. And what I do is I get a couple cords of rounds. That's the tree cut as a round, not cut into firewood. And I give the job to the boys. And in this case, I tell them, hey, you work like a man, you get paid like a man. But so they're out there working away. And then the youngest said, I'm just cutting tired. I don't. And the older two go, Jacobsons never give up. So we're going to stay here until this gets done.
And I think he was 5, like you're 6.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like,
no, they're young.
Guy.
Oh, my goodness.
They're young.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
the time Britain.
But he carried wood in the house.
Axe-wielding 5-year-olds. Oh, my.
Well, I think he got to pack
mostly
the wood.
Mostly had to pack the wood in the house, yeah. I know how much.
But yeah, but from the age of, I would say, 8 or 9 on, Britain, our oldest, and then the other kids as they came along, handled the wood. I never touched it. For years, I've never cut wood. I've never started a fire except on the random occasion. So the kids, we give kids the jobs and then we expect them to do it. So that's Jacobson's never give up. And then there's always a way to get something done.
Yeah. Lisa, do you got one of the 3 or 4 that is your favorite of the mottos? Never give up, obviously. Never give in.
There's always a way to get something done is super helpful. Like your child will come in the room and they just have that, I don't know what to do. And aren't we all fixers, or is that just me? Like, I just want to help them. Can't you see that all you need to do, instead of stopping myself and going, no, the best thing I can do is equip you to figure out, you can figure out what needs to happen here. And this even just came up last week when we had an issue in the kitchen, and our youngest son, and whom I'm most prone to help. He's got those big blue eyes. And
he's got all those big blue eyes.
He just kind of gives me this little helpless look. And I'm just getting ready to, I thought, no, Lisa, don't do it. Son, you can figure this out.
Yeah, that's good. Those are really good. Lisa, I do want to circle back on the beauty question, because I think, you know, again, this is such a struggle for so many women, and young women particularly. What is a practical way, both for moms, and then maybe Matt, you could tell me, for dads, to really affirm them in how God has created them? I want to make sure we hit that very squarely. And, you know, cover the gambit. Not everybody is going to be the front page of Vogue or whatever. And how do you become comfortable as a young woman in how God and who God has made you?
Well, I'll start off with the mistake I made early on, is that I didn't want to emphasize beauty or looks because I thought that was a bad thing. I thought that was just emphasizing all the wrong things. So I talked a lot about how smart my girls were or how talented they were, and I rarely talked about their looks. And then when they were in their teenage years, several of the girls said to me, like, Mom, do you think I'm beautiful? I'm like, of course you're beautiful. Didn't you know that? And I didn't think you would struggle with that, and I didn't know that you needed to hear that from me. So I switched tactics about that point and thought, okay, I need to be pouring into it. I do need to emphasize those things. I do think you're beautiful, and that doesn't have to be a surface thing. Beauty is so much more than surface, but the girls, they did need to hear that they're attractive, and they have beautiful eyes or lovely hair or lots of other positive traits.
This was an experience that my wife had to go through. Her mom had a real emphasis on beauty, not vanity, but just in beauty. And I think Dina will tell you, she kind of reacted the other end of the spectrum. And same thing with our girls. She did not emphasize a lot of that. And I think the Lord allowed me to kind of speak into that part of their life in a way that she just didn't feel comfortable doing. So we really are a team when it comes to parenting, aren't we?
Absolutely.
No, that's a good point. And So you also urge parents to respect their kids. Some parents, this is huge, because I think this is the relational breaking point when a parent can't develop or chooses not to develop respect. And there's maybe some good rationalization, right? If you saw the way my child does not clean his room, does not do these things I expect of him, you wouldn't respect him either. So speak to me as that dad with that attitude.
Well, absolutely. So we like to say, relative to the marriage relationship, if a man isn't respecting his wife, he's in the process of destroying his marriage. And it's absolutely the same with your kids. If you don't learn to respect your kids, you're actually creating distance. And I want to tell on myself. So we had a men's meeting yesterday morning in our church, and the older sons that are at home attend, and we were going around offering prayer requests, but we've got this one son who's pretty stoic, doesn't say much of anything, but he's a very loving child, but he's just not very communicative. And I turned to him and I said, "Hey, sonny, you got something you want to share?" Anyway, I put him on the spot. He's 18, going on 19, but I put him on the spot in front of all the other men. The next morning we had a conversation, and he said, "Dad, I didn't feel respected by you in that moment."
And well, that's interesting.
And so that's the last thing I want my kids to think, is that I don't respect them. So I got to apologize to him and ask forgiveness. But it's super critical to, especially we're talking about those intervening years where they're transitioning to adulthood.
Yeah.
They're going to make a ton of mistakes. And remember how perfect you were as a parent at that age? Remember how far along you were, right?
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't expect our kids to encounter life and respond to it as we do as mature adults.
Yeah. Let me ask you though, Matt, real practical. What does that respect look like? I could easily fall into the same trap that you had, because I'm trying to pull him out. I think I'm doing something good to say to him, "Hey, do you have anything?" in front of everybody else, and maybe he'll step up and have the courage that I'm helping to develop to say something in front of 8, 10, 12 other guys. What is respect toward your kids? What does it look like? What are those things that we should be communicating?
The first thing that we would tell our kids is you don't get respect because you walked in the room. You get respect because you earned it. Okay, so when they respond to maybe a large job that they're given, when they're faithful with chores that they've had, and day in, day out, they take care of them, when they do really well on their schooling because they've applied themselves and they've studied and they've worked hard and have achieved something, that those are all moments, big and small. And if it's a toddler and you said, "Take the cup and put it in the kitchen," you know, you affirm him in that. But telling your sons the words. See, we all have these deep, wonderful feelings for our kids, right? But they're not worth anything if we don't actually communicate to them those deep, wonderful feelings. So personally, I'm looking for opportunities all the time. And if it's a specific accomplishment, or if it's just an analysis that one of the kids made of some news story they saw, I'm affirming that. And I say, "Man, I really respect how you think. I really love the way your brain works." Just looking for opportunities to give respect. And one of the ways to give respect to your kids is to stay out of the way of their sometimes good and sometimes bad decisions.
Yeah, that's so hard.
But it is so hard,
because you want to jump in and straighten out the crooked road, and here's the better path, and let me, don't do that and do this. In that regard, would you encourage a dad or a mom to actually, especially with their older teen children, because I could see that even in my own relationship, it'd be good for me to sit down and say, "How can I show you respect? What do I do today that undermines my respect for you? Because my respect for you is sky high."
Absolutely.
But sometimes, you know, the way I ask a question or the way I engage with you may communicate a lack of respect, and that's never my intention.
Sure.
But can you help me better understand? That's how I would have to do it, because sometimes I'm just thick-headed, right?
Sure. Sure. Well, we want the best, and we know the best, right? We think we do.
Yeah.
And we're so ready with our advice. I've actually asked my kids that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking
I'm going to do that.
I'm thinking of one in particular. And he said, every time we get together to talk, I feel like you're coming at me with your answer as opposed to just letting me figure it out. And even though that's one of our mottos in life, you can figure it out. But as they're older teens and the stakes are getting higher for the decisions that they make, yeah. you go, okay, there's some serious ditches on the side of either side of
right.
this road. And you kind of want to weigh in a little more heavily. But you have to let your kid be the person that God created them to be.
Well, and let me say it this way, because I'm learning this. Ditches aren't all bad.
No, they're very instructive.
They're very instructive.
Yep.
They're very tough. Define that ditch. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying that the Lord is in the ditch too with mm-hmm. you.
Yep.
And I just see so many strong young people that have moments of weakness. They fall into the ditch. And then when you can parent well in that environment to mm-hmm. allow them to crawl mm-hmm. out of that ditch, that can be a lifelong spiritual education.
Yeah.
And it could be used to get them closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And isn't it an irony that we will pray as a couple mm-hmm. in bed at night, Lord, I pray for our kids. I yeah. pray for our child that he would grow closer to you. And then the Lord says, okay. And then he takes them into a ditch
yep.
to get them closer to him. And we panic. And isn't that an irony that we would panic in that environment rather than be doing all the good things we've talked about so far?
No, it is. But you can even verbalize that to your son or daughter. You can say, this is what I see, and here are the options, here are the potential consequences, but it's your decision to make, and I'm going to respect you, whatever decision you make.
This Focus on the Family broadcast will continue in just a moment.
When a woman discovers her husband's struggle with pornography, she needs a practical plan. The latest book from Focus on the Family, Aftershock, by professional counselor Joanne Condi, will help you through the 7 steps of self-care, and you'll learn how to deal with the emotions involved in the discovery of your husband's addiction. Let Joanne Condi's timeless wisdom give you hope even while you're in your own season of Aftershock. Learn more about Aftershock at focusonthefamily.com/store.
The seasons of your life are always moving forward. Singlehood, marriage, parenting, aging well. And through it all, Focus on the Family is alongside you with encouragement from a biblical perspective. And now we have a tool that gathers our trusted guidance and support together in one place, the enhanced Focus on the Family app. With it, you can listen to the Focus on the Family broadcast, engage our social media, find a counselor, or make a donation, all on the Focus on the Family app. Download it today from the App Store or Google Play.
Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. Let's resume now with the balance of today's programming.
Lisa, let me ask you something that was on your website about that transition from, you know, working in a job that you enjoyed, getting married, then you talk about having kids, and now the importance of having at least one parent at home, and mom, is that going to be you? And that was a discussion Jean and I had. I mean, she was coming out of she was in the lab at a university teaching students about gene splicing with nuclear material. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? And, you know, when we were getting pregnant, that wasn't a good environment for the health of Trent, it would have been at that time. But setting that aside and then seeing the job of being a mom and the importance of it, how did you process all that?
Yeah, becoming a mother was a huge shock to me because I was raised in a home that was just more, a little more career-minded. I traveled a lot. I had a lot of schooling. And so becoming a mother and all of a sudden having this huge responsibility in these little people was overwhelming to me. It was a big adjustment. And I thought I would be better prepared for it. I thought it was the first time I found myself in a place that I didn't feel like I was good at it. And I knew the stakes were high. Like, I knew I was impacting these people's lives. And so it really threw me on my knees to say, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me see what I can do here and how I need to grow as a person.
Yeah, and I think, boy, I resonate with that idea that you came from a family that valued education, professionalism, the degrees. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jean would have come from that as well. And I just think for that woman particularly to then value being a great mom and mm-hmm. what it's going to take to do that, there's so much pressure mm-hmm. on young women today to be everything.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't do it.
Yeah.
What advice in that way for that 27-year-old who's been married 2 years, they're talking about getting pregnant. What advice do you have for that woman who's maybe in a career that she's enjoying?
Well, so personally, I believe you get one shot at being a mother and impacting these children's lives. And so for me, I would say go all out and be a mother. And not that I didn't do other things occasionally. And I did have, I helped Matt with his business at times, but my whole focus was my home.
Let me ask you though, how does a woman, I agree, it's an awesome responsibility to put all your attention in that direction, not to derive, you know, what the world's going to say. What are you doing? Don't you like selling things? I mean, no. but where did they derive their sense of meaning and worth in that regard? I think it's scrambled right now for a lot of 25 to 40-year-old women.
Yeah, well, when I have a lot of younger women in my life that I disciple and mentor, and I tell them, I actually didn't do a lot of other things when I was raising young kids. I was mostly at home. It's a full-time job, and it makes such a difference, those foundational years, for more pleasant years ahead.
Well, do they exhale, or do they get aggravated, or both?
Probably exhale. They actually need permission to go, you know what, it's okay for this season. It doesn't mean it's going to be forever. They know that now that my kids are older and most of them are out of the house, that I am doing a lot of other things and I'm excited to do those things. But back then I said, I just didn't really do much. I was really at home with my kids, and it made for pleasant teenage years. And they see the relationships I have with our 20-year-old daughters and sons. And it's a beautiful thing that those investment years totally, if you will, paid off.
Well, and I think what I'm driving at is trying to raise the value of being at home. I mean, it's priceless, and it's far better than selling credit cards, let me tell you, I think.
Well, absolutely. And when you have a vision for what God is doing in the world,
yeah,
and he's doing it through you with these first disciples that he entrusted to you, because you really are discipling them, right? And the Bible talks about raising your child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that can only happen with a real concerted focus. And again, putting the priorities where God puts them, because God talks of children as this great blessing, this great inheritance that you're receiving.
Your quiver.
So am I valuing my kids in the manner that the Bible values them and the emphasis that the Bible places on them? And so if you align yourself with that kind of thinking, once again, I go back to the priority question. You always have time for your real priorities.
It's a great self-reflection. Let me ask you about identity and building a child's identity in Christ. I think, you know, we've touched on it, but you encourage parents to speak God's truth into their children's minds and hearts. How have you done that with your own children?
Well, we've started out just by having a great marriage, okay?
And concentrating on it.
Absolutely. And I know that a lot of people can't do that because of life and where it has taken them. But it's super important for a husband and a wife to live in harmony with each other and to love each other and to respect each other. That's a great identity starting place for your kids, that they see this modeled and they have a sense of security in the marriage and in the home. But also you get to do it by example on other non-marriage related things. How am I interacting in challenges? How am I responding? Giving them an example to follow, and then just speaking very directly into their lives about what God's doing in the world, and you're part of that. You are what God's doing in the world. You've got this tremendous place, this tremendous gifting that's going to unfold over time. God has a great use of that for his kingdom. And so giving them a vision and a perspective for who they are, and also teaching your kids not to evaluate their own personal worth based on the things that they're looking at in society. So much of it is artificial. So much of it has nothing to do with reality. And yet those images, those messages from the advertising world, for instance, that, you know, you really don't measure up, teaching them to recognize that that's not the voice of truth speaking to them. God values them tremendously. And so giving them a biblical perspective on who they are and how God values them, that's the starting place. And then celebrating their gifts as they come along. We have one son, his name is Dauntless, and which means undauntable. And boy, does he embody that name.
he signed up.
He's 16 and he's ready to run a country, you know.
Good for him.
But what I've told him and what we tell our other kids, you've got this great gifting and we love it, even though sometimes it kind of comes back our way. But we love that gifting that God has given you. And just to help them see the awesome creation that they are and speaking that into their lives on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I so appreciate that. Let, in the end here, if we can, let the nitty-gritty of where it's gone wrong. And I'm mindful of that. I feel like, you know, we have a really good relationship with our boys. It's almost sweeter by the day.
Awesome.
And I love that.
That is awesome.
You know, we've gone through our difficulties at junior high and high school that are so common. It's called independence, right?
Sure.
And parents struggle with that phase. Yeah. Kids struggle with that phase. And Jean, my wife, has done such a good job of kind of letting go.
Yeah.
And it's hard for a mom, and I observed it, and we would talk about it, and we'd have our pillow prayer time, and you know, how do we let them own their decision making now? And she's just done a fantastic job, and it's been great to see our boys turn to us rather than away from us.
Yep.
But I'm mindful of the parents that are going, my kid's now 22. We don't have that relationship. I didn't learn that lesson soon enough. There's angst. Mm-hmm. There's pain. There may not even be connection because that child, you know, they walked away. What do you do when that's happening? How do you, and I'm sure you've counseled people, how do you begin as the adult, as the older adult, to repair that damage?
Mm-hmm. Well, damage comes from a lot of different sources. And sometimes it's parent-inflicted, sometimes it's based on the decisions that a child made and the path that it set them on and the decisions that they keep making on that path.
Sure.
So the only thing you can do is do what the prodigal son's father did. He stood and he was ready with open arms.
Ran to him.
He was ready. And just to have that open posture, even if your child has hurt you deeply, to have that posture of, you know what? I believe in what God wants to do in your life, and I love you. Communicate that you love them. Own the mistakes if you've made them. Mm. Own them. Lisa and I have both had to ask forgiveness of our children individually from one time or another for mistakes that we've made, for responding in the flesh, and whatever it is that was negative that you did, that you own. Own it. Speak that to your child. Tell them that you recognize that you've made a mistake. And then ask for forgiveness. And it puts you in a humble position, but I think that's exactly where God would have us as parents, is to have a humble heart in what we're doing. And the main thing is, if you're in a circumstance like that, is to have this open heart policy. I'm so ready for you to come home.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. And I think the key there too, and I see it, you've got to garden the heart.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by that is you got to uproot bitterness. You got to get that spade and dig around those nasty roots to get those weeds out of the garden, right?
Yeah.
And we need to be proactive in that way. And so often that garden, that relationship between us as a mother or father with our sons or daughters, we just ignore it. And that garden gets overrun.
Yeah.
And then it's a big job to try to weed it all out. And that would be one of the things you got to concentrate on. Do the hard work, be engaged, love your children, let them know so that they can come away feeling like, if nobody else cares about me, I know mom and dad care
Absolutely.
About me.
That's
Isn't
right.
that the truth?
That's right.
Wow. Thanks for being with us. This has been so good. It's been a bit therapeutic for me, what I need to do and where I need to go. And I hope the listeners have enjoyed this as well. And get a copy of these two books if you have sons and daughters. If you only have one, that's fine. We'll send that to you. But 100 Ways to Love Your Son, 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter. Just a great tool in the toolbox to do a better job parenting. And if you can make a gift to Focus for any amount, we'll send you your choice of one of these books or both. Just let us know what you need, and we'll get that out to you as our way of saying thank you for being a part of the ministry.
Yeah, we're supported by those who listen and watch, and we would rely on your donations in the coming months if you'd be capable of making a generous donation. So contact us today, contribute as you can, and request either one of these books, 100 Ways to Love Your Son or 100 Ways to Love Your Daughter. Our number is 800-A-FAMILY, and online we're at focusonthefamily.com/broadcast. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today for Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
The seasons of your life are always moving forward. Singlehood, marriage, parenting. And through it all, Focus on the Family is alongside you with encouragement from a biblical perspective. And now we have a new tool that gathers our trusted guidance and support together in one place, the enhanced Focus on the Family app. With it, you can listen to the Focus on the Family broadcast, engage our social media, or make a donation. Download it today from the App Store or Google Play.